Hey, good morning. Clayton and Daniel, thank you all for sharing your gift with us and leading us in worship. It's so beautiful. That's my favorite day when worship happens before I teach. Y'all, I'm excited. We're moving into our new study on prayer. So fun, the practice of prayer. We've been wanting and dreaming about talking about prayer for a little while, and it worked out for us to include it in our curriculum this year, so we were very excited to get to dig into this. So really looking forward to it and praying that through this study that it's going to expand our understanding and build our confidence through practicing different forms of prayer and just through the diligence of learning and growing and understanding it. And so I'm looking forward to this next 4 weeks and doing that. Let me go ahead and tell you. What I'm going to do today is walk us through an overview, actually, of prayer. I'm going to kind of go up top and answer questions, like some very common questions that people often have about prayer. And I'm going to try to speak into those, and we're just going to hit kind of a lot of different things, but kind of some highlights of hopefully it will help. Maybe if you've got questions, might be able to address them today, but that's what I'm going to be doing. And then in your small group time, you guys are going to get to practice a form of prayer, which will be awesome. And I want to encourage you, if that makes your stomach turn, and please don't be fearful. You won't be doing it openly. We won't embarrass you or ask you to do something corporately that you're uncomfortable with, okay? So this will just be something between you and the Lord. Let me go before the Lord in my own prayer before we get started, okay? God, you are Almighty God, and I thank you that you allow us the privilege of knowing you through prayer, that you let us come before you and pour out our hearts, that you speak to us and we get to know you better through prayer. Would you help us today, God? Would you help us to learn, grow in our understanding? Would you allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me and to teach what you've would have me teach? Father, we entrust this morning to you. I pray that these women in their own private times with you, that it would be the best part of their day today. That, Lord, they would be blessed beyond measure for having spent solid time with you. God, we thank you. And I come before you, and I am able to pray all this through the precious, holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so I'm going to jump right on in, and we're going to start with the first question: what is prayer? Well, prayer is, in its simplest form, it's a way to communicate with God. It's just a talking with him. Prayer is a relationship where we get to humbly communicate, and that can happen through confession. It can happen through praising God, through our worship of him and who he is, where we can sincerely seek his face. It can happen when we adore God, as we communicate the truths that we know about him. It occurs when we go to him with a supplication, which means we ask for him to supply our needs. Prayer is when we can go before the Lord and we can talk and ask on behalf of others, as Clayton did for Ashley just a few minutes ago. So prayer is, in its simplest form, us communicating with God. It's also our way of growing in our relationship with God. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, this amazing transformation happens. The scriptures tell us that he gives us the Holy Spirit to indwell us, which is the life of God in us. And when that happens, we are made into a new creation. So when we get the life of God in us, the way to nurture that, the way to grow that, is when we communicate with him. And we begin to build that relationship. And so prayer is your way of growing in your personal relationship with your God the Father. Okay, so how are we actually able to pray? I think that this is incredibly important for us to understand. And we are allowed, we are able to pray because of the work of Jesus. Prayer cost us nothing, but it cost Jesus everything. And let me read to y'all. I'm going to be reading from the Word a lot today, y'all, because the Word is where it's at. But okay, Matthew 27, 50 and 51. I want you to be thinking how we're able to pray. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and he yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split. Hebrews 4, 14 and 15. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet he is without sin. Okay, so those verses, when Jesus gave up his life on the cross, at his death, when that curtain was ripped from top to bottom, what that signified is we now have direct access to God the Father. Our high priest is Jesus. We don't need a man, we don't need a priest any longer to go between us and God. We don't need the sacrifices any longer to go to save us. We need Jesus, and he is the way, because of his death, that he split the curtain and he allows us access to God the Father, that he opened the door for us to be able to pray to God. Okay, so what is the purpose in us coming before the Lord in prayer? There's an author named Mark Batterson who wrote on this, and this he answered the question this way. The primary purpose of prayer is not to change circumstances. The primary purpose of prayer is to change us. But either way, the chief objective remains the same, and that's to glorify God in any and every circumstance. I would think if we're being really honest, most of our prayers have as their chief objective our own personal comfort rather than God's glory in some sense, right? We want to pray away our problems at times, but what if that would short-circuit God's perfect plan for us? There are times God might put us in a situation or give us a circumstance that he wants us to pray through instead of remove us out of, for the purpose of his glory and our growth and our understanding of God. And so the purpose of prayer is to change us and to bring God his glory. All right, who are we praying to? This is a really common, really good question, and oftentimes we ask it because of the Trinity. We have God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it can be confusing, like, who are we really praying to, right? When we go before the Lord. So generally, we're going to pray to God the Father, and it says we're able to pray through the power of the Holy Spirit, but we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's because what I had just said, we're able to pray because of what Jesus did on the cross. The reason we're able to be before the Lord in prayer is because of his authority, because of what he did. I remember I'm a visual person, and when I was studying Ephesians about Jesus' work being done and now he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, oftentimes I visualize and think, God, I'm here before you praying because he is right there. I'm able to pray to you because of what he has done, seated at your right hand. And so normally we're coming before God, the Father, because and we're asking and we're communicating with him because he has a plan. He has a purpose on this earth that he is fulfilling in order to redeem and restore all things at a future time. So he's the one we normally are going to be talking to as we grow our relationship with him and we understand our part in his plan. But it is totally appropriate for you to also pray to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit in the sense that Jesus, if you were meditating on salvation, on something, on your what Jesus did, it would be weird for you to thank God the Father. Thank Jesus, the one who actually came, the one who had to leave his throne and die and choose to obey God's will. And so thank Jesus for the work he did on the cross. Completely appropriate. Also, the Holy Spirit is the one who works in us to prompt us, to guide us and direct us. And Scripture says that when we choose to ignore him, we can grieve him. So when you realize that, it's completely appropriate for you to apologize to the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry I've been ignoring your promptings to talk to Julie or to whatever. So you, the Godhead, all three work in prayer. And it's appropriate for you to address any of the three given your situation. I hope that's making sense for y'all. So when we're ready to pray, how do we pray? That's another question we're going to go. Scripture addresses the fact, Matthew 6:6, that when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So one option for us in praying is to pray privately. God says, don't do it for show. Don't be on the street corners for everyone to see. Come to me in private, in our personal relationship. Come seek me. But we also can pray corporately. There is great blessing, and God promises us that where two or more are gathered in his name, he will be there, that he will be listening. And so he asked the saints to come together to pray for one another. And so corporate prayer is important and is it's a way that we encourage and build one another up. So don't neglect to corporately pray with others as well. How else do we want to pray? Well, he tells us that true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. So when we are praying, we're empowered by the Spirit, and he loves for us to pray in truth. So what does that look like? That looks like you praying God's words back to him. And we're going to have the opportunity during this study for y'all to practice that, to see what it looks like and feel what it looks like to take God's words and speak them back and to tailor them for you and your circumstance and your need. And so he asked us to pray in spirit when prompted by the Spirit and to pray in his truth. Now, do we pray with form or do we pray with freedom? I would say both. And here is why. Form helps us keep our minds on track somewhat. And so what I mean by form is, like, so example, today y'all are going to be praying through the Lord's Prayer. That's a form that kind of helps you go, okay, I'm going to move from this to this to this to this. Because we can very easily get off track, right? But there's freedom inside that form for you to speak your personal stuff to the Lord. It's not a you follow a script and you only pray what's written on the page. It's you follow a form and you have the freedom to share the things that the Lord has done for you personally, specifically, to praise Him for His attributes that have affected you personally. Then, so you've got form and freedom, which typically those are going to be done in your specific times with the Lord that you are going to set aside. But you've also got spontaneous. As you're going and you're blowing throughout the day, spontaneous praying is wonderful, and it's what we're asked to do. When things pop into your mind, invite God into that conversation with you. Have a discussion with Him. And let me tell you something that I love about Bluetooth being so popular in cars today, is that if you start talking out loud to God, everybody's just going to assume you're on the phone. And you're not going to be the crazy person just driving and talking when there's obviously no one else in the car with you. So it's totally fine to just, you know, you're driving, you're thinking, something's coming into mind. Just start a conversation with the Lord about it. Process it before Him. I like Bluetooth for that reason. But okay, so I'm going to move on. So those are some examples of how we pray. But when do we pray? I kind of started jumping into that, didn't I? 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, Paul is talking here, and he tells people that we are to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And there are lots of other scriptures that talk about praying at all times, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And I'll be very honest, those verses have always intimidated me because it feels undoable in my mind. I feel this sense of, I can't pray without ceasing. I'm distracted and I have to be thinking about other things. I mean, how can I plan if I'm, you know? So I started to read and look into this going, how do I do this? And I thought that John Piper is an author that he wrote about this. And so I pulled out his three main points that I thought I would share with y'all about the idea that Scripture tells us, pray all the time, pray without ceasing. Okay, how can we really do this? These are his thoughts on it. First, it means that there's a spirit of dependence that should permeate all we do. This is the very spirit and essence of prayer, dependence. So even when we are not speaking consciously to God, there is a deep, abiding dependence on Him that is woven into the very essence of our faith. And in that sense, we are praying. The second meaning that it has, and I think this is probably one that is foremost in Paul's conscious intention here, is praying without ceasing means praying repeatedly and often. And the third thing I think he means is not giving up in prayer. Without ceasing means don't ever come to that point in your life where you say, prayer doesn't work. I'm done and I'm giving up on it. So the key to rejoicing always is to pray continually, and that is to lean on God all the time and to call to Him repeatedly and often. Never give up looking for Him to help. Come to Him repeatedly during the day and come often. And make the default state of your mind a Godward longing and a Godward thankfulness. John Piper. And so, when he said that, having a deep, abiding dependence on God that's woven into the very essence of our faith, isn't that a beautiful description of how we can be a praying without ceasing individual? Just this always depending, always knowing in the forefront of our mind that it's the Lord that we're going and doing and empowered by. Okay, so next question. Does God hear our prayers? Well, God is omniscient. That is one of his qualities, which means he knows all things. God hears and knows the thoughts and the intentions, the heart of all men. So in that sense, yes, he does. But probably a better question to ask is, does God listen with the intent to answer everyone's prayers? And the answer to that is no. And I'm going to assume that that may come as a surprise to some of us. So I want to read scriptures that teach about who God listens to and who he doesn't and why. Okay? So these first scriptures are who God is listening to. This comes from 2 Chronicles. It's chapter 34, verses 26 and 27. He says, "But to the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God, when you heard his words against this place and its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me and have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord." Humility. The Lord hears those who cry out with humility of heart. Okay, this next one is 1 Peter. Sorry. I thought I had these marked. 1 Peter 3:12. "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So the righteousness, those who are righteous, and our righteousness comes strictly from Jesus. Those who are righteous in Christ, the Lord hears their prayers. And the last one is 1 John 5, verses 13 and 14. "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So those who believe in the name of the Son of God, that come and ask according to his will, he hears. Okay, so who does he not hear? Who does he not listen to is probably a better way to say that. Isaiah 1, verse 15. "When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood." This was written to Isaiah was speaking to Judah and Jerusalem at a time when they had turned from God. They had rebelled. They were worshiping all sorts of idols and were not in any way interested in pursuing the faith that God had given them. And he says, "I will not hear you. I will turn from you." Okay, now my next one is Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." So sin, our iniquities, that is what separates us and doesn't allow the Lord, he will not listen and respond to those living in sin and iniquity. But that There's one more. Oh, somehow I lost it here. John 9:31, and it says, "We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him." Now, the one thing that God does listen to as far as a sinner is when they cry out in repentance and humility before him. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So any sinner willing to go before the Lord, broken, humble, in repentance, confessing their sin, they will be heard. He will respond. God does not desire that any should perish. Those who choose to willfully live in a sinful state, disobey him with intent, yet want to come before him asking for blessing, on the other hand, those he will not hear. He will not listen and respond to. Okay. So, but the hope in that, the mercy in that, is that at any point when those people choose to humble themselves and turn, God is there. He is waiting. If you knock, he will open the door. All right. So when, okay, I got to watch my time because this is getting long. Okay, when we pray, what posture do we take? The Bible is full of different people doing different things. Abraham fell prostrate, fell on his face before the Lord. Moses prays with arms outstretched. King Solomon kneels in prayer. Jesus prayed looking up into the heavens. And so, what do we do? Well, communication with God does not require any certain physical position at all. So if you're spontaneously praying and you're talking to the Lord while you're going down the road, you're going to maintain that same posture, right? That's totally fine. But if you, in your quiet time with the Lord that is separate, you can assume a posture that will reflect the heart and attitudes of your mind. There are times when it's so powerful, if we engage our physical body to represent our heart and our mind, it kind of takes your communication with the Lord to a whole new level. And so I'm gonna go through, someone wrote all this out, I found it, and then I couldn't go back and find the resource for it, and so I'm sorry, I can't tell you who did this. But they went through, I'm just gonna share it with you. Listen to these postures and what they represent. Lying prostrate before the Lord. No position symbolizes humility better than being on our faces before God. This position of prayer demonstrates the beatitude of being poor in spirit, and it's an acknowledgement of our total unworthiness and the recognition of our need for God's mercy. So if something is heavy on you and there is that you are desperate for God's mercy, I mean, you may have already, there may be a time where you just fell out on the Lord, on the floor. And that is what that symbolizes. Kneeling before God. When we repent of our sins, we are appealing to the Lord for his mercy and his forgiveness. So kneeling before him is a symbol of the heart attitude we can have to make that petition. It acknowledges the lordship of Jesus Christ, and it's a sign of our personal humility. Bowing before him, so you've kneeled and then you have bowed your head to the ground. Bowing, one that bows before the Lord conveys an attitude of honor, of gratitude, and faith, acknowledging that all things come from his hand, and it's a sign of reverence and an expression of worship. So that's to bow. To stand before the Lord To stand before any kind of ruler indicates that you have a legal right to be there. And it's only through the righteousness of Jesus that we've already talked about that we're able to approach God as his children. So us standing before him represents our position in Christ's righteousness. And it also shows a readiness to serve him, to get going, to be active. Stretching out your arms as Moses did. In the scriptures, the outstretched arms were symbolic of seeking God's mercy and his blessing. It appeals to God's sovereign power, and it reflects the redeeming work of salvation. It demonstrates worship and petitions God's blessing. So those are just some examples of postures that you will probably run across in scripture, or that you might see that you can take. And just understand again, none of that is required to be in prayer before the Lord. It is just something that you can do when you're prompted by the Spirit. And I would encourage you to try it at some point. To bow before the Lord is amazingly humbling and a beautiful way to worship him. That is a great place if you find yourself. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out what else. I'm going to have to wrap this up. I'm going to do this real briefly. To answer the question, will God answer a believer's prayer? So believers are coming before him. We're asking him for something. Is he going to answer us? The answer to that can be yes, he will answer. We know he listens to us when we're in Christ, right? His answer may be no. And his answer may be yes, but you need to wait. Think about Abraham. He made Abraham a promise. Abraham had prayed and prayed and prayed for a child. And he said, yes, I'm going to give you that. And then he had to wait. Oh my goodness, how long did he wait? And so God answers us, though it oftentimes isn't how we expect it. So one of the challenges I think in for us in approaching the Lord in prayer is to not have expectations of God in how he should answer, but to go before him, to give him our request, to ask in the end that his will be done, that he answer according to his purposes. And here's the thing about God, just like you all know, you cannot give your children everything they ask for, right? Because they do not have a concept of what can be good for them or bad for them as a whole. We are the same way before our Heavenly Father. We may come before him begging him for a certain something that he knows, because I love them, I will not give them that, because that is not going to be good for them. And so when you grow frustrated, I would encourage you to focus on the love that God has for you. His love is enduring, it is steadfast, and it is without boundaries. And know that, yes, believers in Christ, he hears you, he listens, and he will answer in some way. It just may not look like you hoped it would, okay? But you can keep your eyes open, and you can be waiting to see how he does it. Prayer is a precious gift that we have been given by God the Father through the sacrifice of Jesus the Son. It cost us nothing to pray, but it cost him everything. And God desires to be in an intimate relationship with all of his people. So if you feel like you don't know God well, pray. If you're having challenges in your life, pray. If you're happy in your loving life, praise God. Draw near to God, and He is going to draw near to you. Invite Him into your every day. And the challenge, a challenge that I think that we face in this season of life is the pull and the busyness of all that is going on, right? It's hard. There's always someone or something dragging on us, right? And so while yes, God wants us that dependence, that daily, all, even in that busyness, depending on Him, we also really need to set aside time that's devoted to this discipline. Jesus did it. He set the examples for us. He would steal away early in the morning before the people would wake up and come after Him. He would steal away at night when things were done. There's a scripture that says He even went up on the mountaintop and prayed all night. We are challenged. It will be a discipline to learn to give up some things in order for us to draw near to God in a personal, private, one-on-one time. But the blessings that await you are rich as you get to grow in an understanding and a knowledge and a dependence on your God that can come no other way. So I just want to encourage you in that. I want to challenge you in that. You guys are going to go. Y'all are going to talk through some things in your group. And then in the end, you're going to spend time with the Lord working through the form of the Lord's Prayer, using your freedom to express the things going on in your life through that form. Enjoy it. I will be praying for y'all while y'all are praying. I hope that this opens up a whole new depth of relationship for you and the Lord. When you realize what is out there, if you will begin to engage God more regularly and consistently, and also specifically, whether it's early in the morning before those babies wake up or late at night, I just want to encourage you that there is something beautiful waiting you on the other side of that. Let me pray for us again. God, I do thank you for the gift that you've given us of prayer. We come before you. I would ask for your Spirit to be moving in our hearts and in our minds. I pray that you will grow again, just grow our understanding of you. Thank you for your promises that you will draw near to us when we draw near to you. And Lord, may that be felt today as these women go and they spend time before you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the beautiful gift of prayer to us through Jesus. In his name, amen.